Amen. Go with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. This morning I want to talk to us about breaking free from the stranglehold of tradition. Breaking free from the stranglehold of tradition. Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father nor his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." In Matthew chapter 15, the Pharisees and the scribes come to Jesus and they ask Jesus, "Why does your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders by not washing their hands before they eat?" Jesus replies, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" In essence, what Jesus is saying, because he goes on to say something in verse 6 that we really need to, as God's people, we really need to hear in our heart and understand. Jesus says to them in verse 6, he says, "You do forfeit." He says, "You do make the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." So in essence, what Jesus said there in verse 6 is simply this: you have forfeited the power of God's word from truly working in your life by your tradition. In verse 6, the word commandment, he says the word commandment. That word in the Greek literally means word. And of none effect in the Greek, that literally means to render powerless. Think about that, to render powerless. So in essence, Jesus is saying again, your tradition has forfeited the power of God's word to truly work in your heart and your life. Now, brothers and sisters, I want us to think about that. I don't want us to just let these words casually go through our mind. Think about what he just said. It was the word of God that spoke into nothing and created the worlds. It was the word of God that hung every star in space. And it's the word of God that's holding everything in place. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, talking about Jesus and the power of the word, says that he upholdeth all things by the word of his power. So it's the power of the word of God that's holding the sun and the moon in place. It's the power of the word of God that's keeping the enormous strength of the ocean waters from overflowing its boundaries. That's the power of the word of God. And yet Jesus said to them, your tradition has forfeited the power of God's word to truly work in your life. Beloved, listen, when we begin to understand again and realize the power that is in the word of God, that is a mind-blowing statement that Jesus just said. So then we have to ask ourselves then, okay, so what is tradition? What is tradition? If it has that kind of ability to forfeit God's power, his word, in our life, then what is tradition? Well, there's probably many examples that we can give, but there's just a few that's in my heart, and they really tie close together. First of all, tradition is a routine or routines that we refuse to let God break out of. It's a routine or routines that we refuse to let God break out of. In other words, we've done the same thing the same way for so long that we come to a place in our heart we would think to change it would be sacrilege. That's tradition. We think to change it would be sacrilege. Beloved, there are a lot of churches, there are a lot of congregations that would become absolutely unraveled if the pastor was to change the way they performed baptism. I know right now a pastor decided in his church he was going to change the way that the congregation did communion, and the congregation absolutely became unraveled. They rose up and they said to their pastor, "Pastor, no, no, this is the way we've always done communion. We're not going to change it. It would be heresy to change it. We are not going to change it." And they really opposed the pastor, and it's very sad to say he is no longer their pastor today. Listen, anytime we elevate tradition over the Word of God and the Spirit of God, we kill all spiritual life that's in the church. There's absolutely no spiritual life there because the leadership of the Holy Spirit has become practically non-existent. Anytime a congregation begins to follow a routine religiously, to the point where they think to break out of that routine would be sacrilege, gives the Holy Spirit no liberty to lead and to guide that church, that is tradition. Secondly, tradition is a mindset. Tradition can be a way of thinking that begins to seize the mind. Tradition can be a mindset that says God will only do it this way. God can only do it this way. It's a mindset. And I just want to use our Bible school for an example. Let's say a student comes to Mount Zion and they begin to settle into Mount Zion and they begin to see the order that Mount Zion Bible School does things the way we feel in our heart God is leading us, and something gets into the mind and it's simply this: yes, this is God's order. This is the way He does things, and He will not do things out of this order. This is truly the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Anything out of this order cannot be God. This is the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And so then they come 3 years later, they graduate Mount Zion, they leave Mount Zion, and they join a church, and they join a ministry. And because that church and that ministry isn't doing things the way Mount Zion does things, then something rises up in their heart that says, you know what, this is not the leadership of the Holy Spirit. This is not God's order. And that begins to take hold of their mind, and yet at the same time, that church and that their ministry that they're in, there's a hunger in the people's hearts. There are praying people. There are people that are open. They are seeking the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And God is in everything that they're doing. But they're religiously blind, because it's not Mount Zion's order. That's tradition. You know, I have people call me and people email me sometimes, and they say, Pastor Tim, can you please pray for us? No matter where we go, we can't find a good church. And I know sometimes that's true, but in my mind, this question arises. Is it that you can't find a good church, or is it that you just can't find a church that does things the way you're used to them being done? Is that the problem? Tradition is a mindset. Beloved, if nature teaches us anything, nature teaches us God is the God of variety. Different color flowers, different kind of animals, even people have different kind of personalities. He's not going to do the same thing the same way everywhere we go. And when we get in that kind of mindset where we just can't function because it's not the order I'm used to, where's the freedom and the liberty of the Spirit in your life in that? Amen. And thirdly, tradition, and this one really sets close to my heart because I've seen this all my life. Tradition is religiously following a denomination and yet missing a relationship with Christ. Tradition is religiously following a denomination and yet missing a relationship with Christ. Beloved, there are so many people that were raised in church, grew up in church, and grew old in church, and yet all their lifetime they really missed what it is to have a relationship with God. Listen, if you were raised in church, and especially in a particular denomination, any denomination, you've seen people with this mindset that says, listen, I'm a Baptist because that's the way I was raised. I'm a Methodist because that's the way I was raised. I'm Pentecostal because that's the way I was raised. And they religiously go to church and they religiously follow the order of their denomination. They religiously do that. But yet they've never entered into a relationship with God. They religiously followed their denomination to the point that they think to change anything in that order would be sacrilege. Listen, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm a Methodist, and this is the way we worship, this is the way we pray, this is the way we do communion, and if you change the order of things, it is absolute sacrilege. And yet they don't have a personal, private life with God. They don't have a prayer life, a life of worship with God. The only time they open their Bibles is when they come to church. There's no real desire to grow in their relationship with God. And so they have no real relationship with God. And because of it, they've just become steeped in tradition. All their denomination has become for them is just tradition. Beloved, let me put it in a nutshell. Tradition is bondage because it's simply religion without a relationship with God, and therefore there's no life in it. Religion is absolute, tradition is absolute bondage because it's religion without a relationship with God, and there is no life in it. And I have just described in my heart, because I raised in church, I have just described more than half of the people that go to church. Religiously go to church. Religiously follow the order. They have no life of private worship with God. Barely open their Bibles, if any time. And really don't have a desire to grow in their relationship with God. So in other words, your church and your denomination has just become tradition to you. And Jesus says it's because of tradition that the word has no power. Think about that. This is why, listen, brothers and sisters, this is why people can go to church all their life and have no fruit. I've seen it. They go to church all their life and they become religious, more religious, and more religious. And the evidence is, the older they get, the meaner they get. Have you ever seen people in church all their life and they're just mean and cranky and grumpy and complain about everything? You don't know why? They're religious. You don't know why they're religious? Because their denomination is nothing but a tradition for them. It's void of the power of God. Amen. You know what religion is? It's just Christianity with no desire for to grow in your relationship with God. That's religion. Amen. So then let's ask the question. Well then, what is the opposite? What's the opposite of a church and a people imprisoned by tradition? What is the opposite of that? It's simply a church that's free to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's the opposite. I want you to go with me to John chapter 3. It's a little simple story, but the Lord's given me insight on it. And it's a little story that I love. I'm just going to look at two verses. Verse 22 and 23. It says, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea. And there he baptized, there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptized in Enon, near to Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. Let me just begin by saying that John the Baptist was a man that was truly filled and led by the Spirit. And verse 23 teaches us that John the Baptist didn't stay in one place. You see, his ministry was to baptize, and so he had to go where the water was at. When one water spot dried up, he had to move on to the next water spot. He didn't stay in one place. And John moving from one water spot to another water spot simply represents, in the spiritual realm, it represents a man that's led by the Spirit. You see, water represents the life of the Spirit. That's what water represents. So him moving from one water spot to the next simply means he has the ability to recognize where God is working and follow the leading of the Spirit of the Lord. And John moving from one water spot to another water spot simply represents to us as a church, it represents a church having the ability to discern where God is working and being free to be led by the Holy Spirit. That as a church, yes, God has been working in our church in a specific way for a specific season, but now it's beginning to dry up because God is now moving in a new direction. He's now moving in a fresh way. Let me give you an example. Maybe God has us in a season where he's doing a lot of heart dealings. He's doing a lot of just work in our heart, dealing with things in our heart. And it's a time of great conviction. It's a time of great repentance. It's a time of great brokenness before the Lord. But then it begins to dry up because now the Lord is leading us into a time of explosive worship, a time of great joy, a time of great gladness of heart because of the work that he's done in our heart. Maybe the Lord's moving us into a new season. Or it can represent, as a church, it can represent the Lord has had us behind the four walls of our church, fasting and praying and interceding for the lost. But as we have been doing that, now maybe it's beginning to dry up because the Lord is ready to move us out of the building and into evangelism. But whatever the Holy Spirit is doing, wherever he's leading us, the church has the ability to discern where he's going, to discern where he's leading. And as we begin to follow him, wherever he leads us, there's water there. Wherever he leads us, there's life there. A church needs to have that kind of discernment or it gets stuck in tradition. A church needs to have the mind of the Lord. Holy Spirit, you're going somewhere. And we have the freedom to follow you. When you're leading us out of one season, we don't have to get stuck there. We are free in our heart to follow you. And because we're following you, there's always life in our church. There's always life in our ministry. Wherever you lead us, there is always life there. Amen. Stay with me. Stay with me. This is just as loud up here as it is down there. Stay with me. A church has to have that ability in order to get stuck in tradition. Amen. See, here's the mistake John could have made. Jesus came to John to be baptized. The heaven was suddenly open. He saw the Spirit of God descend upon Jesus. He heard the very voice of God say, "This is my beloved Son, and whom I am well pleased." And John could have put down his stakes at that spot and made a monument out of that place. He could have built his whole life and his whole ministry around that one spot. And lost that freedom to continue following the leading of the Holy Spirit and miss what God wanted to do with the rest of his life. He could have built his own little place at this spot and said, "Why do I want to leave this spot? This is the place where I saw heaven open. This is the place where I saw the Spirit descend upon Jesus. This is the place where I heard God speak. This is my beloved Son. I heard the very voice of God. Why would I want to leave this spiritual spot?" And a lot of churches have done that. God moves in a phenomenal way. He moves in a magnificent way. And they suddenly build a monument out of it. And they lose that freedom. And forever they become known as the church where this happened. And the church where this happened. Instead of moving on with God. And you know what happens when you build monuments? Tradition sets in. It never fails. Listen, wherever the Holy Spirit doesn't have the liberty to continue to lead and to guide and go before his people, tradition is always going to set in. This mindset is always going to begin to set in somewhere. This is the way we're going to do things. We're going to pray this way. We're going to worship this way. We're going to observe communion this way. We're going to baptize this way. And we're going to do it for so long that to change it would be sacrilege. And then it kills the life of God. Beloved, if we're not going to get stuck in that place of tradition, we've got to be a church that's able to discern where the Holy Spirit is moving, discern where the Holy Spirit is leading, and and have a freedom in our heart to follow Him. Follow Him. Well, then the question arises. And beloved, it all comes down to this. It all comes down to this. Well, as a church, how do we live in the freedom of following the leadership of the Spirit? How do we stay in a place of always discerning His leading? Two words. It's simply these two words, what the Lord put in my heart. Humble prayer. Humble prayer. As a church, we have to keep the realization in our heart and keep it alive in us of just how needy we are for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And just how needy we are for the leading of the Holy Spirit. The guidance of the Holy Spirit. And as we continue to sense that neediness in our hearts and we pray, continual in prayer, continually seeking the Lord for His guidance, that is a church that God will lead. That is a church that God will put a discernment upon to see where I'm leading, to see where I'm moving, to see where I'm going. So you don't have to get stuck. Amen. It's humble prayer. Now, there's a couple of passages of scriptures I want to end with. Just to bring this point out. Go with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. You know, if you're not a prayer man or woman, tradition can set in your home. That just came to me. But I won't say it because I feel like the Lord. It's just come to my heart. You know, if we're not a praying people that really seek the guidance of the Lord, tradition can set in your home and lose its spiritual life, and yet we're doing all these spiritual things. Really? Amen. But let's bring it back to the church now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I think He wanted us to know that. Amen. Humble prayer. Look at me in Acts chapter 13. Let's read verses 1 through 3. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Now just go with me to verse 2. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Beloved, when you read the rest of the story, you can see this little prayer meeting in this little church changed the world. Catch that. This little prayer meeting in this little church changed the world. And I believe with all my heart, our minds can't even begin to fathom what God can do in one Spirit-led prayer meeting. I take it from the authority of the Scripture. Our minds can't even begin to fathom what God can do in one Spirit-led prayer meeting. In this story, I have no doubt that the leaders of the church, that's who's gathered here, are sensing there's something on the Holy Spirit's heart that He wants to do. There's a weightiness upon their heart. They're all in agreement because they all feel it. And so they're coming together in a prayer meeting to really seek the heart of the Lord, the mind of the Lord. And suddenly the Holy Spirit shows up and He begins to reveal His will to this church. As they tarry in a place of prayer, depending upon the leadership of the Spirit, we don't want to set up programs and boards and try to figure out, Holy Spirit, what You're doing. We've come here to pray and seek Your leading. And as they're faithful to seek the leading of the Spirit, guess who shows up? The Holy Ghost shows up. And He begins to reveal His will. Now, beloved, here's the thought that's on my mind. I believe as a church, for every church, there should be times when we come to prayer meetings with only one agenda. And that's to seek the mind of the Lord. There should be times as a church we come to pray and we come without any agendas except one. And that is to wait upon the Lord. God, where are You leading? Where are You stirring? Where are You moving? What are You calling us to? Waiting upon the Lord. Listen, I believe as a church we should be faithful to pray for needs, pray for each other's needs. I believe we should be diligent and faithful to do that. And we do that here. Our night is Sunday nights. We gather and we pray for needs. But I also believe with all my heart there should be times churches come together and there's only one agenda. Holy Spirit, we need to know where you're calling us to. We need to know what's on your heart. What is it on your heart that you want to do now? Where is it that you're beginning to lead us now? We need your mind so we can follow you. I believe that with all my heart. And beloved, I believe this summer Tuesday night prayer meetings, a lot of that is going to be given the waiting upon the Lord. God, you didn't call us here just to have a church. You didn't call us here just so September through April we have a place so the students can worship on Sunday. No. You called us here as a church because you called us here as a church. We're a church. And because we're a church, there's something on your heart. There's something on your mind that you want to accomplish. So we're waiting upon you. And I believe in my heart, the Lord is leading us into an area of an evangelism. I mean, a lot of us that pray together in the back and pray together here, we're sensing it in our heart. You know what? God wants to begin to bring people in, not for numbers, but for His glory and for His honor. Okay, we understand that. But Lord, how? Okay, we understand that. Now we're going to get all our books out, get all our programs out and say, this is how we're going. No. How are we going to get His mind? Through prayer. And I believe a lot of prayer meetings on Tuesday nights during the summertime is going to be that very thing. Okay, God, we sent your heart, but now we need to know how to do it. But here's the thing. Guess what? The Holy Spirit will show up because it's His mind. It's His heart. This is His vision. This is what He wants to do. So as a church, we have to be a people that stay in a humble place of prayer, or we will be a people that just get steeped in tradition. In other words, we'll just be a people that just go to church because on Sunday and Tuesday, that's just what we do. We just go to church, but we come to church without any vision. Our whole vision is, let's just fulfill our obligation and come to church. Well, then we're just in tradition. Tradition is religion without any vision. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That just came to me. I like that. Tradition is just religion without any vision. Let's just go to church. That's what we do on Sunday and Tuesday. Let's just go to church. And yet really not interested in where the Holy Spirit wants to take us, lead us. Amen. Amen. So Acts 13, they sensed in their heart God wanted to do something. They began to seek Him. The Holy Spirit showed up. And He changed the world. Look at one more passage of Scripture. We'll end it with this. Go with me to Acts chapter 16, verse 7 through 10. It says, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over in Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them also. So what I want us to see here is that the Holy Spirit is clearly leading Paul's path. The Holy Spirit has a path. He has a plan for Paul to walk in. He has a specific path for Paul, and we clearly see Him leading him on that path. And the point I'm simply making this morning is this. Listen, if we'll be a church that just stays in that humble place of prayer, understanding we need the Holy Spirit's guidance and seeking the Holy Spirit's guidance, the Holy Spirit will come and He will begin to close doors and He will begin to open doors. You see, He's the Lord of the harvest. And He has a Macedonia call upon this church. He's the Lord of the harvest. It's His harvest. It's the souls Jesus died for. It's not coming out of our own vision. He's the Lord of the harvest. So He knows how He wants to lead this church. He wants to guide this church. He knows the hearts that He's been speaking to and preparing and wanting to call us into the harvest field. He knows. And if we will be a people that are just faithful to pray, understand how needy we are for Him, and be a people that will seek Him in prayer, be faithful to seek Him in prayer, He will guide our path. And when he guides our path, what will happen? The supernatural will happen. Paul lived a supernatural life. He walked in the realm of the supernatural, building God's church. And we will know the supernatural. God will do miracles as he leads our path. Amen. Stand with me this morning.